come to praise Him and lift up the name of Jesus. Pray that the Lord will send us a fire. Let us start with Him and you, because He's worthy to be praised. It's all about our Savior, Jesus Christ. One who hung, bled, and died, but He didn't stay dead. Very big morning, He got up with all power in His hands. Thank God for Jesus. Asking for your voices, songs, and prayers. We're just glad to see our brethren across the front this evening. We keep them in your prayers, and all of us in each other's prayers, because we're living in some perilous times. Mean men and women will do anything. It's later than it ever has been, but the Lord is on His way back sooner than we think. It behooves to be ready when He comes. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just now, well, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just now. Well, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just now, well, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Just now, He will save you. He will save you. He will save you. Just now, well, He will save you. He will save you just now. Don't you doubt Him. Don't you doubt Him. Don't you doubt Him. Just now. Just now. Well, don't just now, He is able. He is able. He is able. Just now, just now. Well, He is able. He is able just now. Well, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now, just now. Well, come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now.
Right. a scripture come out. Psalms 1. And it reads thusly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God's word for God's people.
Good evening. I hate to ask you all to stand again, but we're doing two scriptures tonight. So if you all don't mind, could we get you to stand again? To the pastor, Reverend Roger, other ministers of the gospel, deacons, my trustee brother, and all of God's children, the evening devotional scripture. We're coming out tonight on 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th through the 16th verse. 2 Chronicles, 7th chapter, 14th through the 16th verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto a prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. I just read to you 2 Chronicles 7, chapter 14 through the 16th verse. May God add a blessing to the reader, the hearer, but most of all, the doer of his holy and righteous word. Thank you.
Good evening, saints. I like to say for myself, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Been absent for a while for health reasons, but thank God he allowed me to come back. Let's go to the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, your most honored servants come to you with a bow down head and humble heart. We come, Father God, thank you for last night's rest and for early rising this morning. Thank you for bringing from the rock of our cradles up at this present time. You have been good to me. You have been better to me than I've been to my own self. We ask you, Lord, that you forgive us for all the many sins. We realize we have sinned against you every day, every hour, every minute. But you still shout out your mercy and grace all about us. Your grace is sufficient. Thank you for being so much long-suffering with us. You have been kind and you've shown up in mercy. Thank you for your mercy. So many, Father God, have been here and gone. We know, Father God, that our day haven't come yet, but we're waiting on it. We're looking for the author and the finisher of our faith, which is Jesus Christ. We, Father God, we know that he showed us the way to come back to you. And we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, the one that walked this earth just like a natural man. Now, Lord, as we come out this evening, Father God, for being revived, we need reviving down here, Lord. We need reviving every day, just not only every day, but we need reviving this week. New Bethlehem, asking you, Father God, give us a blessing. Give us a blessing, Father God, we won't be able to have room enough to receive. Let us, Father God, keep the faith that you ask us to keep. Let us continue, Father God, pleasing you, Father God. We know, Father God, we cannot do it without your help. We know, Father God, you said without you, we are nothing. And we know that, Lord. That's why we are here tonight, Father God, to hear about your word. Thank you for your word, Lord. Your word has been a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Your word has been bridge over troubling water. And we thank you for it right now, Father God. Lord, while I'm standing up here right now, I just want to say a special prayer for my only sister that I have. She's going through something right now. Father God, we know, Father God, the paramedic picked up the Lord, but we know, Father God, you can touch her, Father God, and help her, Lord. Please, sir, help her, Lord. Let her be with us just a little while longer. We know, Father God, that she by your mercy will. Now, Father God, we speak a precious prayer for this congregation. We pray, Father God, that you send your spirit down in this congregation, each and one of their hearts, Father God, and give them a mind to stay on thee. Give them a mind, Father God, to receive the word from the man that's going to bring the bread of life this evening, Father God. That be able to change lives. That be able to show more love for one another. That love that flow from breath to breath and heart to heart. That genuine love, Father God. That love from heaven that you already have shown us. Now, Father God, we're going to say a special prayer for our pastor, Pastor Rogers. Let him continue, Father God, preaching the word and to continue guiding us, Father, in the way we should go. Let him live the life, Father God. We have to build him up on every leaning side. We know that Satan has a desire to sip him like wheat. But, Father God, we know if he keep his hand in your hand, everything will be all right. Now, Father God, we pray for those in the prison bars, behind the prison bars, Father God. We pray for those, Lord. They, Father God, even though they be locked up, they still can be free in Son Jesus Christ. We pray for those who are in the nursing home, Father God. We know, Father God, we don't know what the situation might be, but you know everything. Then, Father God, we want to pray for these brothers in a stretch across this floor. Thank you, Father God, for each and every one of them. Bless them, family, and every one of them. Bless all of us, Father God. Bless each family. Bless them collectively and individually. I don't know, Father God, what tomorrow is going to hold, but you know, because you made each one of us, and you know all about us, Father God. Let us be real down here, Lord. We know, Father God, we're living in the last days. We realize that, Lord. Men, boys, and girls, and women, and all have gone wax clothed. There are so much killing down here. We know, Father God, that you're still in control, though. We thank you for taking care of us and taking care of me, Father God, to be able to go and tart on a little bit longer. Now, Lord, we want to thank you for Pastor's wife as you continue with bless her, Father God, as she travels up and down these highways, Father God. Keep her in your care, Lord. Then, Father God, we just want to be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory, because all glory belongs to you. It belongs to you, Lord. You said in your word you give your glory to no man, and we know that, Lord. So we just lift you up, Father God. Magnify you. Glorify you. Lift you up. Father God, I know you is God, the only God. And we pray, Father God, that that sentimental boy and girl out there, let them know, Father God, that the wage of sin is death, but the gifts of God is eternal life. Let them know, Father God, you're at the door knocking. All they have to do is let you in and come in with them. You will sup with them and be with them, and they will be whole again. We know, Father God, that's the way we went. We know we pray to Father God that the world be able to see you, Father God. I'm just waiting on that cloud to bust over when you send your son over back and receive each one of us. Thank you. I want to say thank you, Lord. Thanks for whatever you're going to do. Let your will be done in my life. Let your will be done in New Bethlehem life. Let your will be done all over this earth. Thank you again for the rain and the sunshine, the clouds, the wind, the floods, and all, Father God, we thank you for it. Because, Father God, you own this earth. We know the earth is just your footstool. We know, Father God, that you know all about us, and we thank you. And again, I say, glorify you. Thank you for hearing my prayer, and I thank you for answering my prayer. In your Son Jesus' name, I do pray this prayer. Amen.
None but the righteous, none but the righteous, none but the righteous shall take me to the wall. Take me to the water. Take me to the water so I can be baptized. I know I've got religion. I know I've got religion.
Church, say amen. This brings our devotion to a close. We turn it over to the hands of the pulpit.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Come on, give the Lord your best praise. Come on, this is the day that the Lord has made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. Certainly we thank him for navigating our niches and allowing us the privilege of being present in this place. And certainly God is expecting our praise. We are expecting his presence. We are expecting his power, his provision. God is here, and certainly we all be glad about it. Thank you, deacons, for leading us in devotion. Certainly we thank God for these pastors and preachers in the persons of Dr. Rogers, Dr. Walker, Reverend Mims, Reverend McCoy. Amen. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord for their presence. Stand with me, if you will. Let us read our revival scripture. Psalms 85. The preacher's here. He's no stranger to us. He needs no introduction. So we'll just let him preach and have his way. After scripture, we'll have prayer. We'll be led in prayer by Dr. Rogers of Hopewell Healing Station. We thank God for his spirit, his presence, his support on today.
Amen.
Psalm 85. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may restore or rejoice in you? Amen. What is it that we want God to do for us? I want you to bear this in mind. We want God to restore us in our confidence in him. Secondly, we want God to restore us in our compassion for others. We want God to restore us in our commitment to his work. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus Christ. And so often we get in the way of that. And we miss the move of God.
Yes, Lord.
And we fail to participate in the ministry of God. Lord, will you not revive us again in our confidence, in our compassion, in our commitment? Listen, if you do those things first, if you seek him first, if you make it all about the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, whatever you're chasing, he'll add it to your life. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen, the altar of the Lord is open. This is special prayer. Not just praying where you are, but you're welcome to come to a place of exchange to give the Lord what you've been grappling and wrestling with, what you can't handle. Understand that we are still dealing with COVID pandemic, but we have a God who's greater.
Amen. Amen.
And he didn't bring us this far. I told y'all 2 years ago, he told me that if you get it, he'll heal you.
Yes.
And God is faithful to his word.
Yes.
He has healed countless people. Is that Reverend Woods there? Amen. I want to acknowledge his presence, Reverend Woods. Y'all come on to the altar. If you desire altar prayer while Dr. Rogers makes ready to come. Come on. Bring your family member to the altar. Bring yourself to the altar. Bring your friend. Come on. Come on. Come on. I need it. Press your way into the altar. Come on, press your way into his presence. Coming down so I can get some prayer.
Father which art in heaven, we come tonight saying to you that we will talk to you out of our helplessness. We've discovered, Father, that there are things we cannot do without you. First of all, thank you for bringing us together to this place at this time in history. Thank you for the prayers of the deacons. Thank you for receiving their prayer and their praise. We continue in that spirit, and we ask you now for mercy. Each of us are here. We don't just ask you to help us, but help this world we are living in. Our church, our community, our city, our country. Lord, we have gone away from your ways. We have ignored your word. And we have refused the guidance of the Holy Ghost. We ask for mercy. Not justice, but mercy. And you told us that the righteous can receive new mercies every day. So, Lord, our families need you. Our children and grandchildren. They refuse to walk in the ways of their elders. Lord, teach us to know your voice. Teach us to hear your voice. Teach us to do what you say, that we will manifest your presence, and others will know that the church is of you, and that we are here on a mission. So, Lord, we ask tonight, as you bring us out of this plague, out of this curse, out of this pandemic, that you reset us, restart us, and refocus us. Lord, we need reviving. So, Lord, as we come tonight, we need you to pour into us your word. Feed us bread from heaven until we want no more. Bless the preacher. Holy Ghost, fill him, use his mind, use his voice, use his body, and when he finished, we know we've heard from you. Bless this church and pastor, bless all who come, those who are virtual and those who are present. Have your way. Holy Ghost, have your way. Those that are sick, heal. For you said if any is sick among you, send for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointed with oil in the name of Jesus, and you shall heal the sick, and you shall raise them up. Bless those who are incarcerated. That you you are not just in Bethlehem, you are in the prison. You said you visited me because I was in prison. You fed me because I was hungry. You gave me water because I was thirsty. Lord, help us in this mission and this ministry. So now as we go forth, restore the joy of our salvation. Let this church rejoice over your goodness, over your mercy and your grace. So Lord, we thank you tonight. If we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough. Move among us. This night is over. You will be glorified, honored, and praised in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Somebody said, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me.
Thank you. If you don't mind, can we pray together? God, our Father, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Ain't nobody like you. You are God alone, and you alone are God. We reverence you tonight. We honor you. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We speak, holy, holy, holy. You are Holy Father. You are Holy Son. You are Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Godhead. And then I thank you for every believer in this room. Those who are watching. Those who might watch later. You've been good to us. We thank you. Now, Lord, if you would speak to our hearts tonight, we ask in the name of Jesus, I need you to forgive me of my sins. Fill me full of your Holy Spirit. Fit me and fix me in your service tonight. Cause us to be more like Jesus on tomorrow than we were on yesterday. And we ask this in his name. Amen. If God has been good to you, will you give him some kind of praise right now? Pastor of this church, Pastor Rogers, come on, thank God again for him, would you? I especially want to thank God for him because he knows preachers who could do a far better job than I, but yet and still he's gracious and invited me back. He told me last year he wanted me to come back, and I think I called him every month just to make sure because I just love preaching in this place. So I thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Not only could he have invited anybody else, he could have done this himself because he is somebody's preacher. Amen. And there's another reason I wanted to come, and I'm going to tell you the truth, I really wanted to come back just to be in the presence of Pastor Emeritus. Amen. I want to share something with you. It's really hard to duplicate what you don't celebrate. And if I can be that clean at 86... Amen. Salute to all of them. There's other pulpit presence, and you are here tonight. I thank God for you. Just look around and shout because somebody else is in the sanctuary with you. Amen. Give this music ministry. Y'all just, man. Well, I'm just kind of meandering here trying to get myself together. I will be trying to preach from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Never mind if I go back to the old church. I'm from the country. Let me go back just for a second. Just for a second. Just come over here. Just for a little bit. Gonna lay down my burden down by the river. Down by
Come on.
Down by.
Y'all sound good.
Gonna try on my long white robe. Down by, down by. Gonna stay.
Come on, come on, come on.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask the ferry man to let me cross down by.
Down by the riverside.
Down by.
Down by the riverside.
Down by.
Down by the riverside.
Gonna ask the ferry man to let me cross down by. Gonna stay.
Come on, we can go on now.
Yeah, I ain't gonna stay. Walk. I ain't gonna stay. I ain't gonna stay.
Thank you so much for letting me go back to the country. Tell you what I want to do tonight. I don't know if you're going to end up shouting tonight over what I'm getting ready to do. But I want to share with you tonight what I pray for my own children and the members of the Mount Canaan Church. Pray for my own children. I have a 15-year-old son and a 3-year-old daughter. God has a sense of humor. But when I get on my knees, I pray this for my 15-year-old, my 3-year-old, the members of Mount Canaan. I pray for you tonight in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, the King James will say. New American Standard will say, if the salt becomes tasteless, wherewith shall it be salted again? I heard this phrase coming up in the country and never knew it was biblical. It's good for nothing. Good for nothing. It's good, but for nothing. But to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You'll be cast out on the sidewalk. Yeah. Yeah. Be cast out on the sidewalk. Let me give it to you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, that phrase in the original language, it's translated morano. Morano, where we get the word moron from. Where we translate it fool. And Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if you start acting a fool, can't nobody calm you down. At that point, you're good for nothing.
Yes, sir.
But to be cast out on the sidewalk where no grass is growing. Because even though you can no longer be salt, you still got enough in you to kill everything that's growing. You may be seated. 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 You are. You are. Pastor, can I walk just a little bit?
Yes, sir.
You are the salt of the earth.
Yes, sir.
You, the salt of the earth. It's in red writing. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. This is in Matthew 5 of what we usually call traditionally the Sermon on the Mount. But the grammar in verse 1 and 2 suggests that it's in the imperfect tense. Don't worry about that. I'll give you the definition. It's an action that does not have a completion in the past. It's in the imperfect tense, which means this is not just what Jesus preached on the Mount, but it's what he preached throughout his whole earthly ministry.
All right.
For 3 years, he opened his mouth and he taught them over and over and over and over and over again. He teaches these same principles. They are principles of the kingdom of heaven. For instance, one time Jesus is teaching and the people back him up. He's so popular until they back him up to the sea. And he can't go no further. And he turns around and he sees some guys who are washing their nets and their boats are on the bank. And he says to one of them, man, can I use your boat for a pulpit? And he gets on the boat and he teaches from the boat. Doesn't tell us what he's teaching, but it does tell us he's teaching something. Possibly these same principles, because even psychologists say you don't really develop a faith for something until you've heard it 41 times. So Jesus teaches this over and over and over and over again. Another time he's teaching in the sanctuary, in the temple, and they bring this woman in there who's been caught in the very act of adultery.
Right,
now, she wasn't committing adultery by herself, but for some reason, they don't bring the man.
That's right.
And he's teaching, and they bring her in. He's big noise. He's in that teaching squad. Everybody listening to him. And they bring this woman in, and they say to Jesus, they throw the woman at Jesus' feet, and they say, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Now, Moses says that the law says that she should be stoned. What say you? They stop him from teaching. Don't tell us what he's teaching, but he's teaching in the synagogue, and Jesus doesn't say anything. First, he just writes on the ground, and then they still talking. What you going to do? What you going to do? What should we do? And he raises it up, and he says, he that is without sin. Says, y'all going to stone him? Y'all going to stone him? Yeah, we're going to stone him. All right. The person who is without sin. Now that's in the English. Can I give you a quick word? It's a word for same sin. Jesus looks up and said, y'all want to stone him? Yeah. All right. He who is without the same sin. they begin to walk away.
That's right.
Because they're guilty of the same thing. Don't tell us what he was teaching, but he was teaching. Another time Jesus is teaching in the house. He's sitting down and all of a sudden, you know, they hear a noise on the roof. Well, what in the world is that? Well, there are four men carrying a man on a mat. They try to get him through the front, but they can't get him through the front because the house is packed. So they go up on the roof, and Jesus is teaching, and they tear off the roof and let this man down. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Thy sins be forgiven." Well, they say to Jesus, "We let this man down in front of you for you to forgive his sin. We let him down in front of you so that you could heal him." Well, Jesus says, "We got two problems. Number one, if I heal him of his illness and don't deal with his sin, he's going to walk straight to hell." Second, I need to let y'all know that I got power on the earth to forgive sin, to meet his real need. And then he said, "Now that I've forgiven your sin, now get up and walk." And he was carried in, but he walked out. So Jesus is always teaching and possibly these same principles over and over and over again. The same thing. You got to get the same thing. You know, John didn't have but one sermon either. "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He preached the first Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday, fourth Sunday. If he preached the funeral, same thing. "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Pastor's anniversary, church anniversary, choir program. If John got up here, he preached for one Sunday. There was a new preacher went to a church one time. He preached the same thing over and over again. People said, "Well, when are you going to preach something else?" He said, "When y'all start living." You go to another sermon once you start living this. So Jesus is teaching this stuff over and over again. It's the principles of the kingdom of heaven. Now let me just give you this because I pray for you tonight.
Yeah.
Jesus says you are the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
That you should be, get this, you should be different in lifestyle.
Yeah.
Write that down. That's my first point. Different in lifestyle. Different in lifestyle. Let the church say different in lifestyle.
Different in lifestyle.
Now, what I need you to know is that this is the Sermon on the Mount, but we have interpreted it the wrong way. Because the Bible says, "And seeing the crowd, Jesus go up into the mountain and sits down, opens his mouth in the imperfect tense, and began to teach." We interpret that the wrong way. Brothers and sisters, I read that the wrong way for years. I thought Jesus was running to the crowd. Jesus is running from the crowd. He sees the crowd and he climbs the mountain to get away from them. Because he understands that what he's getting ready to say, everybody ain't gonna agree with you.
That's right.
It's not for everybody. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Man, you must be crazy. Come on, think about Jesus coming in here tonight and saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." I've been poor before. Didn't feel blessed. Can I get some witnesses?
Yeah. Amen.
Blessed are they that hunger.
Yeah.
Huh? Blessed are they that mourn.
Yeah.
I'm not crying all the time, and you telling me they're blessed. Blessed are they who are persecuted, pressured, and chased. And when that happens, check this out. Rejoice. That ain't for everybody. I think I need to tell you something. God ain't never needed everybody.
That's right. That's right.
So every now and then Jesus says some stuff to run off the phony folk. Oh, wait. He took two fish, five loaves of bread, fed them
fed 5,000 men. The Bible says they came, they got in the boat, go to the other side. And when the crowd comes back and sees Jesus and the disciples have gone to another side of the same sea, they walk over to where Jesus and them got in the boat to get to. When they get over there, Jesus says, hey, now you're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Huh? What did he say? Who is he talking to? His answer to that question. He ain't talking to you. If you question it and don't believe it and trust him, he ain't talking to you. Oh, Lord have mercy. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Are you crazy? Ain't talking to you. Blessed are they that hunger. Man, you crazy. Because I ain't talking to you. But he's going to look at somebody else and say, blessed are the poor in spirit. And you're going to answer like this. I don't really know what he's talking about, but I trust him. And I ain't going nowhere until I understand what he's talking about. Blessed are they that mourn. I don't really understand it, but I ain't going nowhere because I trust him. Sometimes God does something. Let me ask you something. Is there anybody here that can testify that God has done some stuff in your life and you didn't know what he was doing, but you say, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to stay right here with him. See, you need to tell the truth to somebody because they think that you're sitting there because everything God has done, you understand it and you agree with it. But the truth of the matter is, you are sitting there in that seat because you had to trust God's heart even when you couldn't trace his hand. And you said some stuff like, I don't know why, but I'm going to stay here with him. You're going to say like Job, though he slay me. This ain't for everybody. Just write this down. It's called the Message Bible. It's the Message Bible. It's a good Bible to read. It's a good translation to read. After you've read King James, New American Standard, for if just it's by Eugene Peterson. This is how he translates Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus, seeing the crowd, runs away from them and climbs a mountain. Those who are his climbing companions follow him. And when he gets to the summit of the mountain, he sits down and teaches them. This ain't the Sunday morning crowd. This is the Wednesday night crowd. This is the Tuesday night crowd. These are not the people who are coming to fulfill some kind of religious quota. These are the people who come after service on another time when it's inconvenient to say, teach us something. Yeah. Y'all stay with me. Ye are the salt of the earth. Get this. This shouts me. It's in the emphatic tense. The emphatic tense in the original language suggests that the action is limited to the subject. The emphatic tense suggests that the action is limited to the subject. The question is, who is the you? You are the salt of the earth. Jesus is saying to his climbing companions that came back for the Wednesday night service, that came back for the Tuesday night service, you and you alone. I ain't expecting Jesus would say nobody to be the salt but you. We keep expecting the world to be the salt. Jesus is expecting some stuff out of you that he ain't expecting from other folk. See, if I was in a full gospel church right now and I wanted to try to get a little shout out of people while I was preaching to catch their attention, I would say something like, see that person sitting next to you, God ain't expecting them to shout. The reason he ain't expecting them to shout is because he ain't done for them what he did for you. So you're sitting there and you're saying, well, I'm waiting on this person right here to say amen, but he ain't done for them what he did for you. He hadn't had to bring them through what he brought you through. So you quit waiting on people beside you to shout, because they don't know. There's some people who are quiet, and they should be, because they ain't never been through nothing. They ain't never been lied on. Ain't never been talked about. Ain't never been criticized. Tell them to sit down, shut up, don't say nothing. But the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord. You and you alone. Of the salt of the earth. You should be different in lifestyle. It's all right to be different. We're trying to congregate when the Lord is calling us out. Ecclesia, church. Ek call, ecclesia is called out. Ecclesia, the church, are the called out ones. We are not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be different. So where do you stand on abortion? That ain't the issue. The issue is adultery. You're trying to get no cookie from me just because you banned abortion. A woman should have the right to choose until you choose Christ. Once you choose Christ, you ain't got no more rights. Preach in here, Reverend. I can't cuss you out. I don't have the right to do that once Christ is in my life. I don't have a right not to tithe. I wish I had some help in here. I don't have a right not to pray. Should homosexuals be married? They shouldn't be homosexuals. Don't put no camera in my face if you don't want me to be different. If you don't want to hear what I got to say. Don't come interview me because I'm different. Hey, child of God, you're supposed to be different. It's all right to be different. There should be something about you that says you're different. There's a word in the Old Testament, it's the word kadesh. It's translated holy or sanctified. It means to be pulled apart and set unto. Pulled apart and set unto. Kadesh, holy, sanctified. Pulled apart and set unto before. So y'all standing outside and you come in and I say, listen, you can sit anywhere in the sanctuary you want to, but if you don't mind, leave this seat right here for Pastor Walker. That's sanctified. That means that I set something aside for him before. It doesn't mean y'all sit wherever y'all want and then he can find a place when he gets in. Sanctified means that I'm putting this over here. Don't mess with it. One of the definitions is taboo. That means it's not good for any other service but this. This seat is not good for anything else but the one whom it is sanctified for. Do you have anything that only belongs to God? So in my kingdom, you know, we try to meet the young crowd. So we have Come As You Are. We have Jersey Sunday. We have Fraternity and Sorority Sunday, where everybody represents all of that. So I say for the children, I say, listen, I said to the youth department, make sure we have at least one Sunday in the month where the young boys and the young girls wear suits and dresses. Because every now and then you all look like you're going to church. You ought to have some stuff that you don't wear anywhere else but to church. If you're going to come as you are, if you're going to have some blue jeans, don't wear them anywhere else but to church. This is, every wife ought to have something that only her husband sees her in. I wish I had some hip in here. It's all right to wear choir robes some Sundays. Why? I'm in the choir. It's all right to wear a suit and collar and a tie some Sundays. Then we try to get choir robes for the children, and the first thing they ask is who gonna pay for them. Well, now let me tell you the problem. The problem is that your daughter this year, and you don't know it yet, but your daughter this year is gonna be selected as homecoming queen. And you're going to have to pay all that money just for her to wear that dress one time. She's going to make the cheerleading squad. And you're going to have to pay $6,000 and $7,000 and $8,000 just for her to wear something that's too short. Shame on you. You're going to do that for them to wear it one night, and you can't wear it by a dress or a suit or a robe that they can wear every Monday just to say that we are sanctified. Let the church say different. Kadesh means holy. The New Testament word is hagios. Check this out. Hagios. It's holy. Hagios. It's translated hagios. Guess what it means, y'all? It means both all full and all some. All full and all some. Holy means all full and all some. It depends on who's using it. If I'm in the hands of the Lord, I'm awesome. If I'm in the hands of the world, I'm awful. A spoon, the eating utensil, is awful if you're trying to eat spaghetti. It's awesome if you're trying, this is a country word, to sop some soup. Depend on whose hands. I'm awesome for God's purpose. I'm all full for the devil's purpose. Hold on. So if you're single and a guy comes up to you and says, listen, I would like to take you out on a date. Well, you can tell him, yes, I will go out on a date, but you need to know something. I'm all full as a date. I'm all some if you're looking for a wife. You know, people call you to pout. Oh, Lord. You say, well, now listen, you're inviting me to your pity party. I'm all full of that. But if you are calling me to praise God, I'm awesome as a praise partner. Oh, look at that person next to you and ask them, are you all full or are you awesome? Different in lifestyle. Now I'm through, but here's what I pray for my children. Point number two, you got to dominate in love. You got to dominate in love. Stay with me. Don't go to sleep. Different in lifestyle. Holy. But I dominate in love. I'm not mean and nasty to homosexuals. I don't hate people in the name of the Lord. Woo, see how quiet y'all got? Just because you don't believe what I believe doesn't mean I need to kill you. Doesn't mean I need to fire you. Doesn't mean that I shouldn't invite you to the family reunion. Ye are the salt of the earth. Salt dominates. You never have as much grits as you have salt. You don't put as much salt in grits as you have grits. Now, I'm just learning how to cook. You know, my mama didn't teach us how to cook. You know, the boys stayed outside, mama and the girls. I'm just learning. I know how to cook breakfast. Now, I can do breakfast. I know something about grits. That's if Barack Obama comes to my house, I got him covered for breakfast. He's going to have the best grits. I can cook some grits. And I know that you don't put as much salt in grits as you got grits. Just a little dab. I wish I had some hip in here. Child of God, do you know who you are? God ain't never needed everybody. He just needed somebody, because as a child of God, you dominate. Let me quote you another scripture. You ain't never read it right. I know you read it. Possibly you have. If my people, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, check this out, and heal the land. Y'all missed it. If my people would pray, I ain't expecting people who aren't mine to pray. I'm just expecting my people to pray. And if my people pray, I will heal the whole land. I will heal the land for people who ain't even mine, because my people pray. I'll turn this whole thing around just for my people. Jesus didn't even die for everybody. He died for us. But in order to get us, he had to die for everybody. Praise the Lord. So he says, the kingdom of heaven is a plower who's plowing in the field, and his plow hits something, and he digs and he sees a jar of treasure. He puts it back in the field, covers it up, goes and buys the whole field. He doesn't want the whole field, he just wants the treasure. Y'all still missing me. At my house in Files, Louisiana, Catahoula Parish, parishes in Louisiana, parishes, we're in the country. At my house, everybody would gather on Saturday evening. That would be my brother Reuben, my brother Lonnie, my brother Daryl, my nephew Trinity, myself. And then all of the boys in the neighborhood would come over and they would shoot basketball. Ronnie, Tony, Bill Bow, Crucial, don't worry about them Louisiana names. Affidel and Larry, and they would come over, Lil Jack and Ernie, and they would shoot basketball. Mama would walk out on the back porch in the evening time and say, y'all come eat. Now, when she said, y'all come eat, she was thinking about Reuben, Lonnie, Daryl, me, and Trinity. Because that's who she prepared the food for. But since Affidel and Tony and Ronnie and all of them were out there, they all came in and ate with us. Wait a minute, y'all missed it. When Mama cooked and said, y'all, she meant us. But everybody was available. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died to save us. But in order for him to save us, he had to die for everybody. That's the problem with a sinner who dies and goes to hell, is that they die and go to hell with their sins paid for. Dominate in love. You set the agenda. You ain't got to kill nobody. Love wins every time. Now look here, boy. Mama don't agree with this stuff you're doing. But come on, sit down and eat. Mama don't know nothing about no homosexuality. The Bible I read says God made Adam and Eve. And y'all ain't gonna sleep in this house together. Go get you a hotel room or something. Or you welcome to sleep on the couch and your whatever it is can sleep in the room in there. But I love you. And you come sit, eat breakfast with everybody else. But don't come around here twitching and switching in front of these children. Mama gave birth to a man. Now, whatever y'all do in private, y'all do that. But here, because I dominate in love. I don't send nobody to hell. I ain't got no hell to send nobody to. You got relatives calling themselves everything. Jewish, black as an ace of spades, calling themselves. The Hebrew is like, no, you from Africa. Why would I want to be an Israelite anyway when they ain't got it together? That's some of the crazy. How can God want to bless you and can't? They left Egypt to inherit the promised land, have not inhabited it today. God wanted to give it to them and they ain't got it. How can God? Because salvation is not of the Jews. Salvation is in one Jew. Oh, Lord have mercy. His name is Jesus. I don't believe in Jews. I believe in one Jew. I didn't say this morning, good morning, Israel. I got up this morning and said, good morning, Jesus. Because Jesus is my Savior. So we got all these cousins want to be Hebrew Israelites and everything. Don't be fighting with these people. Don't get no gun trying to kill people. Just because I don't believe what you believe, I ain't got to burn no cross in your front yard. I ain't got to get an AR-15 and go and kill people because they don't believe what I believe. Dominate in love. I'm trying to go, y'all, but listen. Don't let people make you hate them. That's what I pray for my children. That's what I pray for Mount Cana. That's what I pray for you. You dominate. Don't let people dictate the agenda. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're going to have people that's going to hate on you. They're going to hate on you because you're black. Hate on you because you're a woman. Hate on you because you're a man. Hate on you because you're educated. Hate on you because you're not educated. Don't let them dictate your agenda. You love them anyway because love wins every time. Ye are the salt. Dominate in love. Be strong enough that if people don't love you, it ain't gonna matter. Did you hear what I said? I've held you too long. I said be strong enough so that if people don't open a door for you, you can open a door for your doggone self. Be strong enough so that if people don't speak to you, you keep on speaking. Don't let people dictate your agenda. I hear the Lord say, no man takes my life. I dictate my own agenda. I got power to lay it down. And if I lay it down, I can take it up again. Dominate in love. You set the agenda. But don't be diluted in your leverage. Don't be diluted in your leverage. Jesus says, if the salt loses its savor, I have you on earth so that you can give seasoning to the world. I have you on earth to create a thirst in the mouth of unbelievers. Hold on, wait a minute. Palestine is wine country. So I bring you to my house to sell you my wine, Deke. And you know, I want you to know I got some good stuff here. Some Cristal. Some Moscato. I got some good stuff here. You know what I'm saying? This ain't no Mad Dog. Some good stuff. So I invite you to my house to show you my wine. But I don't bring out my wine first. First thing I do is bring out some hors d'oeuvres that are heavily salted. And I serve them to you. Hey, eat this cracker. And you eat them crackers. And you're sitting there and you're talking and I'm seeing that your mouth is getting dry. And after a while, I go back in the back room and I come out and I say, now taste this wine. It's been a setup all along. I gave you them crackers to create a thirst. God has sprinkled you throughout this community so that you can create a thirst in the mouth of a sinner. And when that sinner gets thirsty enough, then you can say, oh, taste and see. That the Lord is good. I'm through, y'all. I've held you too long, but don't be diluted in your leverage. Salt gets diluted so it's not as salty. Jesus says, I put you there to bring flavor to that situation. If the situation takes away your flavor, you ain't good for nothing. I put you there to change things. If you get changed by the thing, you're good for nothing. Now let me help you. You are still salt. You're just not salty. You don't lose your salvation. You just lose your assignment. God will leave you there and you'll be fired on the job. And you'll be functioning without any joy. Because he put you there to change it. And you got changed by it. Let me ask you something. Have you ever gone to somebody very calmly to get something straight? Very calmly. And then they start raising their voice. And they start acting a fool. And you say, well, now listen, I just came to talk. I just want, you said the other day. Somebody married in here know what I'm talking about. And then they say, yeah, I said it. Wait. I'm just trying to tell you that that's not accurate. Yes, it is. You ain't up. Wait a minute. What happened was you started acting a fool just like them. And instead of you being a thermostat, you became a thermometer. Jesus says when this happens, you're good for nothing to be cast out on the sidewalk. Why, Jesus? Because you're going to kill anything growing. Everybody that has a positive attitude, since you've been fired on the job, you need to be away from. Because there are some people who are trying to do right. They need to be away from you. That girl is on her way to the altar if she can get by you, who've had five husbands. And the one you got now. All men are dogs. No, just the five that found you for some reason. Y'all know I ain't lying. You need to be away from some people. Because they've lost their savor. My wife had my son and gave birth to my son, and he was premature, so he had to stay in the, was it neonatal unit? And so I was talking to the nurse one day, and she said, I've been working 3 days. She says, and I get some days to go off. So I said to her, you're a nurse? She says, yeah. She says, but my specialty is the neonatal unit. I said, you don't work in any other part of the hospital? She says, no. She says, no. She says, we have a special entrance and exit. I said, well, why is that? She says, well, we don't want the diseases of the hospital to get to these newborn babies. So nobody who works in here goes in any other part of the hospital. Because we don't want the infections of the hospital to get to these newborn babies. I wonder why the hospital got enough sense not to let the infections of the older people get to the newborn babies. And somebody get born again in the church, and the first thing we do is sit them beside some old stuffy. Don't be diluted in your leverage. Don't let nobody make you doubt what the Lord has done for you. Don't let them sneak any bad doctrine into you. You know, a few weeks ago, the thing on Facebook was, you know, preacher in Atlanta said, don't tithe anymore. And I began to think about that thing. You know, he got thousands of members. I got about 10 members. Maybe he's right. But then I started thinking, I've been given like I've been given all this time, and seeing that the Lord has been blessing me. So I mean, somewhere you got to get to the point where you look back and say what grandmama and them used to say. You can't make me doubt it. Grandma, what? You cannot make me doubt him. Why, grandmama? Because I know too much about him. And y'all, I'm closing here tonight. I've held you too long, but I just need some witnesses. I don't need everybody in the church, but I just need some witnesses who can testify like grandmama them say, you can't make me doubt the Lord because I know too much about him. Your testimony is, I tried the man and I know that the man is all right. You look back over your own life, and your response is too many times the Lord has made a way for me. Too many times the Lord has opened doors for me. Too many times the Lord has healed my body. I'm not going to be diluted in my leverage. I'm not going to doubt the Lord because I know what God can do. Can you just shake somebody's hand tonight? Well, you ain't got to shake the hand, but at least confess it, that there is no secret what the Lord can do. What he's done for others, he'll do the same thing for you. If he did it before, he'll do it again. If he opened doors before, he can open doors again. And can't nobody make me doubt the Lord. Well, I hear Jesus saying, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, wherewith shall it be salted again? It was good for nothing. It's good for nothing but to be cast out on the sidewalk. Well, I went home this past weekend from the city of Shreveport, and I still got a house about 3 hours away down in the country. Well, I went to my house, hadn't been there in a long time, but we got everything we need. All we have to do is find something to cook, but we got all of the seasoning there at the house, and I got ready to cook some grits Sunday morning, and I was looking for some salt, and I saw the box that said salt, but I needed to know, was the salt in the box, was it still usable? So I opened up the box and I shook it, and when I started shaking it, salt started coming out. That's a little simple way for me to ask you if you know that you're still salty. How do you know if you still have your savor? How do you know if the Lord is still using you? One way you can tell is when situations shake you up and you're still faithful. When circumstances shake you up and you still say the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. So this is where I reserve my one time to ask you to speak to your neighbor. Fist bump your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm still salty. And the reason I know I'm still salty is because I've been shaken. I've been shaken. I've had to cry some tears. I had to walk the floor all night long. But in the midst of it all, I still got my praise. Is there anybody here that can say I've been shaken, but I still got my praise? I'm through. I held you too long. Everybody stand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that tomorrow and for the rest of your life, you always remember that you're different. I want to pray for you that you know that you should dominate in love. Love wins every time. Ask me how I know. One Friday, they hung love up on a cross, and love died. But Sunday morning, love got up again. That's the message of the cross, isn't it? That's the Christian message. You can't beat love. You think you might bury it. You ain't doing nothing but planting it. And don't be diluted in your leverage. I pray for you. Man, I pray for you. Don't be diluted in your leverage. Keep on talking about the Lord. You ain't got to kill nobody. Just let them know, I trust in God. I trust in Jesus. He done too much for me. For me to turn around. I don't feel no waste time. God brought us too far from where we started from. If you needed this message tonight, step out into the aisles. If this was your word, I needed that tonight. Nobody told me. I see you. I see you. That the road would be easy. Y'all, I don't believe the Lord brought us this far to leave us. Come on, I want to pray for you. If this word was for you tonight, step out into the aisle. I don't. This first night, we're coming back. Feel no waste time. I know it gets rough sometimes, but you've come too far from where you started. Started from. Nobody told you that the road would be easy. I don't believe God brought you this far. I don't believe God brought you this far. I don't believe God brought you this far to leave you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the listeners tonight, the hearers, those who have an ear. Might be in the sanctuary, they might be watching tonight. Thank you for making us the salt of the earth. And God, I'm praying for that person who feels like they've lost their joy. They've been trying and trying and trying, and they're still in that environment of unrighteousness. God, I pray for their strength tonight. God Almighty. For that brother that's got to go back to an environment that's unrighteous. I pray that you strengthen him to be the salt. for that sister that has to go back to that home that needs the flavor and the favor and the savor. I pray for her tonight. Ooh, I pray for our children who got to go back to school this week in an unrighteous environment that seeks to sap them of their savor. I pray that they remain salty, influential, impactful. Bless them to dominate in love. And God, when they've gone as far as they can go, fill them with the Holy Spirit so they can go even further. In Jesus' name, let the church shout impact. Shout impact. I didn't say impact. I said shout impact. Impact.
Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. We're ready to go. Listen, right before the benediction, listen, get your best gift in your hand. Get your best gift in your hand and give on your way out, if you will. Give your best gift in your hand. Amen. What a word tonight. Amen. Your best gift in your hand. Father, we thank you for your divine visitation. For, Lord, your use of this man in this place, this preacher. Lord, to challenge, convict, to change our hearts, to change our ways, to be more useful and used by you. Bless every giver, Lord, as they get their best gift in their hand, as they sow in this offering from their hearts. Lord, bless us in our going out like you blessed us in our coming in. Give us traveling grace and mercies. Lord, and when we make it to our humble abodes, we pray that you give us rest and relaxation. Restore us, Lord, and bless us to see a new day. And Lord, we'll come tomorrow, Lord, with more praise, more heart, more mind, submitted to your holy will and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give on your way out if you will. Bless the Lord. Give on your way out.